fifth premise of the book. The property of those higher on the hierarchy is more valuable than the lives of those below. It is acceptable for those above to increase the amount of property they control in everyday language to make money by destroying or taking the lives of those below. This is called production. If those below damage the property of those above may kill or otherwise destroy the lives of those below. This is called justice. I love that one. Okay, sixth premise. This culture is not redeemable. The culture will not undergo any sort of voluntary transformation to a sane and sustainable way of living. If we don't put a halt to it, this culture will continue to immiserate the vast majority of humans and to degrade the planet until it, civilization, and probably the planet collapses. The effects of this degradation will continue to harm humans and non-humans for a very long time. And by the way, I want to be really clear. Every cell in my body wants for us to have a voluntary transformation. I'm not saying I don't want that. What I'm saying is that I don't think it's going to happen. And another thing, I want to be really clear that when I talk about resistance, when I talk about fighting back, as I will more and more as we go through the talk, I don't believe in the reform versus revolution dichotomy. I don't believe in that at all. I think we need it all. Because if we all wait for the great, glorious revolution, there's not going to be anything left anyway. And at the same time, if all we do is reform work, this culture is going to continue to grind away until there's nothing left. And the moment, actually, when I realized the reform versus revolution question is bullshit, is I used to teach at Pelican Bay State Prison, which is a super maximum prison in Northern California. And I know that the U.S. prison system is the biggest racist gulag on the planet. And I was walking in there, you know, working in that system. And at the same time, a lot of my students were telling me that the only things that were keeping them sane were my classes. And so at that moment, the revolution and reform question fell apart. Because once again, we need it all. And we'll talk about that more later. Seventh premise. The longer we wait for civilization to crash, or the longer we wait before we ourselves bring it down, the messier will be the crash, and the worse things will be for those humans and non-humans who live during it, and for those who come after. If somebody would have brought down civilization 200 years ago, if Tecumseh would have won, then people in the Northeast could still eat passenger pigeons. If somebody would have brought it down 100 years ago, people in the Northwest would not have to worry about salmon going extinct. The Klamath would still be full of salmon. We wouldn't have to worry about docks in every mother's breast milk. We wouldn't have to worry about global warming. We wouldn't have to worry about all these other things. I mean, 50 years from now, are people going to be going, God, you know, if people would have brought it down 50 years ago, we'd still have amphibians. You know, we'd still have great apes. We'd still have polar bears. I mean, what is it going to take? You know, at what point? How bad does it have to get? Eighth premise. The needs of the natural world are more important than the needs of the economic system. The needs of the natural world are more important than the needs of the economic system. I have just guaranteed I will never hold public office. You know, another way to put this one is that the only measure by which we will be judged by the people who come after is the health of the land base. They're not going to give a shit as to whether we were nice or not nice. They're not going to give a shit about whether we recycled. They're not going to give a shit about whether we tried really, really hard. They're not going to give a shit about how good we were at the, you know, how great books we wrote. They're not going to care. What they're going to care about is whether they can breathe the air and drink the water. What they're going to care about is whether the land can support them. They're going to care. I mean, it's embarrassing to have to say that the land is everything. You know, we can fantasize whatever we want about some eco-socialist utopia with free love, and if you can't breathe the air, it doesn't fucking matter. Or tomorrow night's version will be, it doesn't matter. You know, I have a new slogan, which is, protect your land base, you can't have sex without it. Another way to put the eighth premise is, any economic, you know, that's one of the things that bugs me, by the way, about all those solutions that are, in quotes, that are proposed to global warming and all that. Did you notice what they always take as the given? They always take industrial civilization as a given. That is basically, how can we keep the economy going, and if we have a planet, that'll be nice. And that's insane. That's an inverse of reality. That, once again, without a land base, you don't have an economic system. You don't have anything. Anyway, another way to put the eighth premise is, any economic or social system that doesn't benefit the natural communities on which it's based is unsustainable, immoral, and really stupid. Sustainability, morality, and intelligence, as well as justice, requires the dismantling of any such economic or social system, or at the very least disallowing it from damaging your land base.